I'm Brenda Caldwell, aka Dr. B. Welcome to the Hope Zone, moving you from a place of hopelessness and brokenness to a place of healing and wholeness, a place where hope is alive to bring you more peace, more joy, more freedom, and more understanding of your God-given purpose. Let's enter the Hope Zone. Hi, and welcome in to today's edition of The Hope Zone with me, Brenda Caldwell, aka Dr. B. You're in the right place at the right time for the right reason. I promise you, it's about to go down. I'm just excited. I am. I love teaching on who we are teaching on today as we are continuing our three-part series titled Understanding Your Relationship with the Triune God. The Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We'll be talking about Holy Spirit today, and I'm just grateful and thankful and always excited about teaching on the Holy Spirit and the practical way in which He literally comes alongside us in our everyday life to make all the difference in the world. So I'm excited about teaching on the Holy Spirit today, but I want to do just a quick recap and just let you know that this teaching is so dear to my heart, because I know when my real walk with the Father began in 1995, I had four days. It's something called the Emmaus Walk. I went to the Emmaus Walk, spent those 4 days with learning about God. And I was just transformed for real, and got on fire for the Word of God, got on fire, fell in love with Jesus for real, got to know who He really, really, really is, and got to learn about God as a Father. And just over the years, I've developed. And I tell you, learning about the Holy Spirit has been the most amazing game changer ever. And so I want to establish this as we conclude this series today, because I have a lot to share. Promise you, you want to take notes. You want to take notes. I am so thankful. I really want to say that, you know, I first started teaching on the Holy Spirit about 4 or 5 years after I really got a great foundation and teaching on the Triune God. And I just am so grateful for over the years, the people who have, told me how much of an impact it has made on their life, getting to know the Holy Spirit, like I've gotten to know the Holy Spirit, really getting to know Jesus up close, getting to know God as a Father, and just understanding that literally that God being God and God being sovereign, He expresses His love in these three amazing ways and very distinct ways. It just blesses me. I know that I guess I have some good stuff to share with you today. I really do, about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share it based on the Word and, you know, and share some examples. But I promise you, buckle your seatbelt. I'm telling you, this is my heartbeat right here. I just love it. I love to take people from a foundation of having never known who the Holy Spirit is and only have a vague knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Some say Holy Spirit, some say the Holy Spirit. I was introduced to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit, all those many years ago, 27 years ago. I'm of the mindset the Holy Spirit is very secure. And He knows who He is. And so He's okay if you call Him the Holy Spirit. He's okay if you call Him Holy Spirit. I don't want to put anybody in bondage, and I'm certainly not going to put myself in bondage on that. But I want to say to you that, again, as I've been saying, whatever church you were reared in, if you were reared in church, someone you may be listening, and you were like me, you weren't raised necessarily in church. I mean, I went to church some, but I did not get some foundation where I can say, you know, I was definitely Baptist. I was definitely, you know, Church of God in Christ. I was definitely Methodist. I was definitely, you know, as an adult, once I started learning about God, I've, you know, been part more so of a non-denominational, not so much, doctrine or what have you, but I just believe God is not about denominations. It's just not. But if there are some denominations that do not even speak of the Holy Spirit, there are some denominations that reduce him to a feeling or an it. We're going to talk about that. There's just a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misteaching, a lot of false teaching, just a lot of inaccurate teaching, I would say, when it comes to the third part of God, the third person of God. God the Father, we've established in episode 51. God the Son, we continued in episode 52. Episode 51, and then we had episode 52. So I just want to say that in this episode, episode 53, I just want to say that I'm so grateful and excited that I get to come alongside you and help you, no matter what you have learned or been exposed to. Open your spirit, open your mind, and I promise you that you are going to absolutely be blessed. You are going to be blessed today for sure, because I'm going to prove to you everybody in the world knows the Holy Spirit. Hang on. Everybody in the world knows the Holy Spirit. But this teaching on the triune God, I pray, is a great encouragement to you. And it will be, especially if you're certainly wanting to grow. So I do the Hope Zone for the one, and I do it for you, the one. You're my one today. So I want to talk about, we're going to pick up a little bit. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus, we established last week, God in the flesh. His love was poured out. He went to the cross, shed his blood, so that his blood would only need to be shed one time, so that any person that was born after he went to the cross would live under grace. Somebody say grace. 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 God's unearned, unmerited goodness and favor. Grace. Grace, grace, and more grace. We're so thankful for grace. And so because we now live under grace, and we don't have to be like the people in the Old Testament that had to live under the Mosaic laws, those 613 laws, we should be very grateful. We don't even acknowledge the Ten Commandments. We should, because those Ten Commandments are powerful, and they can guide our life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not sin against your neighbor. Thou shalt not, have other idols, other gods before God. I mean, just really good, solid. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Very solid commandments. Just because, that the law per se, went away from the standpoint of we don't have to, be punished in the way that we have to go and kill a lamb and present that lamb before the high priest anymore, doesn't mean that we should not be literally abiding by those Ten Commandments. And they still apply today. They really do. How much better would the world be? But now as we transition, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, came, he did what he did. And then let's set the tone for what was happening. Before he went to the cross, we need to establish before he even went to the cross, he was preparing the disciples' heart. Imagine, you're a disciple. You've been able to hang out with Jesus for 3 years. You've been walking almost 3.5 years with God in human form, though, most of them didn't quite understand that when he was on the earth. But as he was preparing to leave, it kind of began to somewhat come clear that this man who was their mentor and their leader was certainly a superhuman. Jesus was preparing the disciples for his departure. So I want to read a few scriptures with you. He says here in John 14, he was preparing to leave. He was preparing to actually go to the cross. After he would go to the cross, he would reappear again. He wanted to make sure that when they checked, come on somebody, they checked the tomb, and the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. We've heard that story. Jesus, come on, Easter. I'm telling you, listen, when he came out of that tomb, hallelujah, before he ascended for good, he walked around and he made himself be seen by some disciples. He made himself be seen so it would be known throughout the earth that Jesus is still alive. And he was preparing their hearts as he was preparing to go to the cross before he would ascend. He said in John 14, 23 here, Jesus replied, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. The Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You see, Jesus was sent by the Father. Who Jesus was the Father. He was the incarnate Word. The Bible says that in John 1:1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. So the actual Word, the living Word, came alive in the incarnation of Jesus in the earth. But it was coming time for his departure to go back into the heavenly realm. Verse 25 says, all this I've spoken to you while still with you. But the advocate, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. He says in the famous scripture, John 14, 27, peace I give to you. Hallelujah. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, the peace that the world gives you, I don't give you that peace. He says, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Hallelujah. Then he says in verse 28, he says, you heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens. He says, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me, the prince of the world, which of course is Satan. So Jesus was preparing the disciples' heart. He was letting them know his time of departure is coming soon. He's letting them know that he is going to exchange places. He's going back to the Father. And he's saying that you'll be glad to let me go and release me to go if you knew who was coming. And then he says here in John 15, verse 26, 27, he says, but I will send you the counselor, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will tell you about me. Oh, my goodness. And then verse 26, he says, and you will tell others about me because you have been with me from the beginning. This is powerful. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. Jesus was letting the disciples know, be encouraged. The counselor is coming. He is coming. He is going to take my place. You are not going to experience less. You're going to even get more. I'll be sitting at the right hand of the Father. The counselor is going to take my place. It's important. And I'm going to break all this down so it really makes sense to you here in a second. If you've never really understood the Trinity, the triune God, your relationship with the triune God, who really is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? How does it all work together? How is God three distinct people? It's powerful, it's fascinating, but it's also real. And it takes faith. It takes faith to receive this. Jesus said in John 16, verse 5-7, he says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? I'm reading from King James, so it's got the thou, but it is cool. Verse 6 says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow filled your heart. But nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's good for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Oh my goodness, what good news is about to explode in the earth. Jesus had to prepare the hearts of the disciples that his time was near. He would have to leave, but he's going to exchange places. He's not going to leave them without a comforter. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says this, but the comforter, this is from Amplified. It says, but the comforter, then it says in parentheses, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. Oh my goodness. So let's fast forward. Jesus prepares the heart of the disciples. He goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. He lays down his life. He sheds his blood. He says those final words, it is finished. That ends the Old Testament. It gives birth to grace in that moment. Glory to God. He literally goes down into the ground. He's buried in a tomb, I should say. He was buried in a tomb. And then the tomb was rolled away 3 days later. We know it to be Easter. We know it to be resurrection. And the tomb was empty because he is risen. And before his final ascension back into the heavenly realm, Jesus walked around. He wanted to make sure he had witnesses, as I said. And then he met up with the disciples and he told them that they would experience the coming of the Holy Spirit. They needed to tarry. The disciples and a few other people, they needed to tarry in an upper room and wait for the moment of the descending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended. Can you imagine watching somebody that is a human? Jesus was a human. He was deity, so he was God, but he was in a human body. Can you imagine somebody in a human body going literally up into the air without an airplane, like literally taking off? Well, the Bible says that the disciples and those who were witnesses watched Jesus ascend into the clouds. But before he left, he told them to tarry there. He said, you wait. The Holy Spirit is going to take my place. He will be coming. Well, 10 days later, on a day that shall forever be remembered and recorded in the book of Acts as the day of Pentecost, that is the day that the Holy Spirit, some will say the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit came into the earth. He descended. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, this is NIV, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them or gave them utterance. So as a miracle sign and wonder and evidence, undeniable evidence that the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised was going to come and take his place as a witness to it, as miraculous witness to that. It happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, His spirit descended and fell on, rested on those disciples and those who were there. And they all began to speak in other languages, different languages, like literally unknown tongues to them, but they could understand each other. It was just miraculous for that to even happen. And so that was his entrance into the earth. And so let's break it down. Why did Holy Spirit, Jesus have to leave? Well, we need to understand, obviously it was part of God's divine strategy. God is God. God is sovereign. And God divided himself up in these three distinct roles. So he knew he would leave. He knew he would depart. He knew he would be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb once and for all. But in his humanity, we need to break it down. In Jesus's humanity, he had to leave because he was limited. He was in an earth suit. He was a human being. He had to walk. He wasn't flying everywhere. The only time he flew, if you will, is when he ascended back up into the heavenly realm. But when he was in his assignment on the earth for those 33 and a half years, but particularly at age 30, when his ministry came into full bloom, he walked everywhere. He and the disciples walked. Well, he was limited. So even on the day that Jesus healed the woman, the famous story, the woman with an issue of blood, and he healed this woman, well, Jesus was literally on his way somewhere else. He was on his way to a man named Jairus' house because his 12-year-old daughter had died, and they were all frantic and they'd call for Jesus. And so Jesus was literally on his way about to go there when the woman who had an issue for 12 years pressed in and withdrew virtue from him and was able to, be healed instantly. Her faith made her whole. But Jesus had to walk. He was limited in his earth suit, in his humanity. And so he had to leave. He told the disciples, now I've got to leave. Now I'm going to come back, but I'm going to be in a different form. Woo! God, let this bless you. Let this bless you. He said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be in a different form. I'm going to be able to be everywhere at the same time because I'm going to be in an earth suit. I'm not going to longer be in my earth suit. I will be with you. I'll be in you in the form of a spirit, a divine spirit, a Holy Spirit. I shall be with you. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age. How could he make that promise when he left and he sits at the right hand of the Father? Because in spirit form, he returned. Oh my God, I hope this is breaking it down for you. Jesus, hallelujah, is with us in spirit through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is literally God. He's just as much God as Jesus is just as much God. He's God in a different form. Oh my God, this is so good. This is so good. I don't know when. I just want you to get this. I pray that this blesses you as much as it blessed me. I pray that you allow it to come alive and listen to this episode over and over to let it get revelation in your spirit. If you've ever really wondered who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Everybody knows the Holy Spirit. First, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is God living on the inside of every born-again believer. So when a person gets saved, the day you got saved, that you said, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. The moment that you did that, if you've never done it, this is a good time to do it because there's an amazing, free, priceless, unbelievable gift that you get. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit literally comes alive the moment that you give your life to Christ and you become a born-again believer. But if you're not taught that, if you're not taught how to tap into this gift and begin a relationship with this divine person who is God, can you imagine? This is what blows me away because I'm so practical. The same God created the oceans and the stars and the skies, laid the firmament, the same God that hung the stars and all the galaxies, that same God who created humanity, who blew breath into a human body, that same God reduces himself to a spirit to come and dwell in and live in every human being that accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. Fascinating to me, mind-blowing to me, but it's real. For 27 and a half years, I've had the privilege, almost 28 years, it'll be 28 years in June, I've had the privilege of walking with the Holy Spirit. I've had this distinct honor and privilege of being able to walk with the triune God, the Father, my Daddy, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my High Priest, hallelujah, my intercessor, and also the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's primary role, the Holy Spirit, who is God, don't reduce him. There's so many people that have been so mistaught that the Holy Spirit gets wrongly presented. He's not something, he's not some it, he's not some, just some wind force, he's not just some ghost, no. He is, come on, he is God. Just as much God as God the Father. Just as much God as God the Son. He's God in the form of a spirit called the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. That's love. He's here not to leave you hanging. So every commandment that is in his word that he wants you to fulfill, he's literally willing to live on the inside of you. I'm about to break all this down. And it's going to make so much sense. And I'm going to walk it down with you and you're going to love this. I promise you, you're going to love this. That God is amazing. That God is the lover of my life. The Holy Spirit is my best friend. The Holy Spirit, who is God, is here to help you fulfill every commandment in God's word, every scripture, every requirement, every commandment, everything that God wants us to do to prove, to show the world that he is real in us. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us. So let's establish Holy Spirit is God living on the inside of us. His primary goal, his primary purpose for being in the earth is to come alongside believers, born again Christians, to help Christians, followers of Christ, those who are followers of Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, to live a successful life as a follower of Christ or a successful life as a Christian. You cannot live a successful life on this earth, on this planet, as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, whatever you want to call yourself. You cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. There's no way. The flesh will get in the way and you will forget. Forget everything that you have studied. You will forget everything that you've been meditating on. You will forget all the principles. And you will operate out of your own flesh of anger and selfishness and conceit and pride and bad attitude. The Bible says there is no good thing in the flesh. Nothing. So we can't do this life without the Holy Spirit. But the wonderful thing is we can live an amazing life with the Holy Spirit. I promise you, the joy that I have, hallelujah, the world didn't give it and the world can't take away. Glory to God. There's something about abiding with God and having this relationship with this triune God and really understanding how I can literally have a relationship with God as my Father and I have a relationship with Jesus and now I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've walked with him now, the Holy Spirit. I've gotten to know him over the years. I want to tell you, every person on the planet knows the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Everybody on this planet knows the Holy Spirit. Prove it, Dr. B. Prove it. What are you talking about? Everybody. Little children know the Holy Spirit. Senior citizens know the Holy Spirit. People in all these different countries know the Holy Spirit. People who don't go to anybody's church know the Holy Spirit. Most people on this planet know the Holy Spirit by his nickname. So let me drop off the number one nickname of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. I love to teach this. His nickname is a quote. Something told me. Oh my God. Something told me. Have you ever said, something told me? Something told me. Have you said that today? Something told me. Did you say that last night? You know what? Something told me I shouldn't even give him my number to that guy. Something told me. Kids say, oh, something told me I should have studied. I didn't know. Something told me we were going to have a test today. Something told me. Something told me. Something told me. The only problem with that, something cannot speak. A thing cannot speak. A thing is an inanimate object. It cannot speak. Are you with me? But when we've not been taught about the Holy Spirit, when we have not been taught who he really is, we just say, something told me. But everybody knows. Everybody knows. It's this voice. It's this unction. It's this something, some kind of way I knew that. Some kind of way. It for real, I can't pinpoint, but something did tell me that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. It's amazing. I'm so glad I learned this so many years ago. That's his number one nickname. Another nickname of the Holy Spirit is gut feeling. You know, I just got this gut feeling. You know what? I just got a gut feeling. You know what my gut is telling me? Your guts can tell you something? Really? Really? I didn't know guts had a mouth. Come on. You know why we say guts? Let me tell you where the Holy Spirit resides. It's a fascinating truth, and it is real. The Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit, dwells in the innermost part of your being. Touch your belly button. Where your belly button is, that innermost part, that feeling right there where your belly button is, that's where the presence of the Holy Spirit dwells. He literally speaks to you from that place. That's why we say, I just got this gut. It's like my gut's telling me this is not a good idea. Because the Holy Spirit gives an unction. It's a sensing. It's a knowing. And sometimes it can be a feeling. Even though the Holy Spirit is not a feeling, sometimes you can feel and sense. Like when it's just like this sinking feeling when something is just not right. I'm telling you, that's how the Holy Spirit operates. It's amazing. I could give you hundreds of examples and stories. I can assure you. Just the other day, I had a sinking feeling when I got in my car. It just didn't feel right. It felt like, seriously, you know what, to be honest, it felt like I was going to be in a car wreck or I was going to be close to being in a car wreck. And so I just had this uneasy feeling. And so me always talking to the Holy Spirit, I was like, Holy Spirit, I ask that you be with me, direct me, show me. I said, I have an uneasy feeling, Holy Spirit. And so I just began to pray. And then I have a prayer language. So I did pray in my prayer language. And so I prayed, if you will, until it kind of lifted. And then I just got quiet while I was driving. And so I came upon a red light that was out, but I saw it like a mile away. The Holy Spirit allowed my eyes to see way down the street that this light was out. And I heard this unction in my spirit, the Holy Spirit say, when you get to the light, turn right. Do not go through that light, turn right. That's when peace hit me. I literally pulled up to the light. It was still out. And just as I obeyed the Holy Spirit and turned to the right, literally there was an accident. Had I kept straight, I would have been hit from both angles. I would have gotten hit from two cars. Instead, they hit each other. But I listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's how I live my life. That's how I live every day. I literally live every day communing with the Holy Spirit. It has changed my life. It's the most fascinating thing that's ever happened to me, is learning to commune, talk with, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So let me give you a few more. Here it is. Women's intuition. That's another worldly way of taking credit from the Holy Spirit. There is no women's intuition. Somebody just coined that phrase. Women tend to be more sensitive and in tuned, if you will. Women are wired to be very sensitive. So women can sense things. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to a mother about their child. That's the Holy Spirit. It's no women's intuition. We just come up with these sayings and that they catch on and we make them some kind of law. There's no women's intuition. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the spirit of a woman who's a mother, a woman who is in tune with him. Second wind. I got my second wind. I get my second wind. That's another nickname for the Holy Spirit. I'll teach you about that. It's really not the second wind. It is the dunamis energy of the Holy Spirit. Some people call him it. He's referred to as an it. He's referred to sometimes as the Holy Ghost. More so in the Old Testament, he was referred to as Holy Ghost, more so in the Old Testament, a few times in the New Testament, but because he was concealed it wasn't his time. Pentecost had not come. And so he had not yet descended. And so he would be more concealed. So there were a few times in the Old Testament that he would be referred to as the Holy Ghost, but more so he's referred to as the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so the Holy Spirit is amazing. He's awesome. He's real. And he is here to communicate with you 24 hours a day about anything. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. It's just amazing. And so I want you to get this and understand that the Holy Spirit has 10 practical roles. I want to go through these 10 roles before we close out. This teaching will be just a little bit longer today. I normally do a 30 to 40 minute teaching, but it's so good and worth it. It is. It's just worth it for anyone who really wants to grow in their relationship with God. You're going to want to get these notes. So the Holy Spirit, hang on. Let me give you these 10 practical roles of the Holy Spirit. So remember, Holy Spirit, he's God. He's just God in a completely different form. He's the person of God, like God the Father is a divine person because he can feel. God the Son is a person. He can feel as well. He intercedes. He prays on our behalf. He's a divine person. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and God the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He gets to live in the earth through born-again believers, people who know Christ. He says the world, the Bible says the world doesn't know him because the world can't see him. But it says you know him because he lives in you. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about that. We are reminded that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is stated in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, do you not know that your body is the actual temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, honor your body, honor your temple, because you house the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells on the inside of you, right around the region of your belly button. Hears everything you say, goes everywhere you go, sees everything you do. He's here. He's real. If you allow him to come alive in your life, I'll tell you 10 things that the Holy Spirit can help you do. Number one, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit is amazing. First thing that the Holy Spirit does, again, as God living with you, God living on the inside of you, he is your comforter. He's our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Just like a good comforter. Have you ever put on a really good comforter? Ooh, when it's cold and you kind of snuggle under a comforter. You remember, how does that comforter feel? Doesn't it feel safe and secure and snuggy? That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit, can make us feel. He comforts us. He strengthens our heart during times of crisis, grief, stress, sadness, loneliness, times of being discouraged. He reminds us that we're not alone in the world. Can I tell you that? You start tapping into the Holy Spirit. When you need comfort, you simply can say, Holy Spirit, I need comforting today. I really do, Holy Spirit. I need to be comforted today. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. I'm sad today. I'm feeling stressed. Will you comfort me today, Holy Spirit? Instantly, instantly, you will feel like a blanket, a comforter was placed around you. It's real. I've done it for 27 and a half years, almost 28 years. I know when I learned about the triune God, I really wanted to understand my relationship, this relationship with the triune God that I was privy to. I was all in. I wanted everything that would be a benefit. Like you join a company, you start working at a company and you start tapping into all the benefits of being a part of that company. That's what I wanted to do. When I really gave my life to Christ for real, and made Jesus Lord, I wanted to be able to experience all the benefits of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, a believer, a Christian, if you will. And so, yes, comforter. That's number one. Number two here, we're going to roll right on along. The second thing that he does for you that I love is that he's your helper. He is your helper. The word paraclete in the Greek does mean helper. Like an athlete is somebody who runs, like a track athlete is someone who runs. Well, the Holy Spirit is the paraclete or the paracletus, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S, paracletus. The Holy Spirit is the one who literally, he's your helper, the one who comes alongside. So every day when you wake up, believe it or not, you have 24-hour help. You have help to go with you on your job, help to go with you on your school, help to go with you when you got to go talk to somebody, help when you got to make a difficult phone call. You got help available to you when you got to go do the yard work, when you got to learn this new assignment, this new project, you got to learn this new equipment, you got to learn how to operate your phone, your new phone. Helper all day long, 24/7. I don't know if you know this, but you have the world's greatest helper available for you. And he's willing to help you. And he can help you do anything. The Holy Spirit has helped me for almost 28 years. I call on him. I talk to him. I'm going to break it down at the end so you understand, well, when do you talk to God versus Jesus? Talk to the Holy Spirit. How do you do it? Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Just know the Holy Spirit is here to help you. He's here to be your helper. Number three, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our teacher. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Bible was written by 40 different authors over a 1600-year period, but each one of those authors were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says that in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy, I can't really slip in my memory at the moment. Holy Spirit will bring it back. Is it 1 Corinthians 3:16, I think, that where it says that the Bible is the inspired word of God. I think it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. All scripture is given to profit us in reproof, in correction, in teaching. So the Bible is here to correct us, to teach us, and to help us grow. Holy Spirit wrote it. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God came upon these authors. He's the one who wrote the Bible through these different authors. It is the Holy Spirit that knows every word of the Bible. He knows King James. He knows NIV. He knows Amplified. He knows the Word of God. So he's here to be your teacher. The Holy Spirit literally can teach you the Bible. If you really want to grow, he can teach you scripture. He can give you revelation. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can teach you how to do something new. He can literally teach you a new skill. The Holy Spirit can teach you things that you do not know. He can teach you. You want to take a class and you say, Holy Spirit, I want to take this class, but I'm going to need you to be my teacher. I know I got a teacher. I got an instructor, but I need you to teach me, show me, help me, break it down. you can actually have that conversation with the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. Number five, I love this one. The Holy Spirit, number four is that he convicts us of our sin. He's the one who convicts us. So, you know, when you do something wrong, you ever say something wrong and then you start feeling kind of bad? Oh, you're like, man, I shouldn't have said that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's just convicting you. I love that. He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us when we're out of order. He convicts us when we've said something or done something. All we have to do is correct it in that moment. Okay. And say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know what? You're right. I shouldn't have said that. It's awesome. That's relationship. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for stopping me from gossiping. Thank you, Holy Spirit, from stopping me, from convicting me before I go further. It's amazing. Holy Spirit tries to convict people before they sin. Come on. Come on. Have you ever done something and sinned and did something that you know in your heart of hearts that you wasn't feeling right doing anyway, but you went on and forced yourself and you did it, and then afterwards you felt terrible? That was the Holy Spirit. You're like, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew in my heart I wasn't supposed to do it. That was the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And then number five, he's our counselor. He is here to help you. Can you imagine? You have a problem. You have an issue. Do you know that the Holy Spirit will help you with any problem, any decision that you need to make? You don't know whether or not to leave your job. You don't know whether or not to buy this car. You don't know whether or not if this house is for you. You don't know whether or not to leave your marriage. I mean, big problems. You don't know what to cook for dinner. I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is your counselor. I am a counselor, and I'm an anointed counselor. I'm good at counseling. I've been graced with the gift of counseling, but the Holy Spirit is the counselor. He's the world's greatest counselor. I tap into the Holy Spirit. In fact, with every one of my clients, all of my clients very much so know that every session begins with us yielding to the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit to be a part of the session, because he knows far greater than I what every last one of my beloved counselees need. And I'm just a yielded vessel. I tap into that free counseling service, the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you need counsel for. He's that. Then number six is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Whenever you really want some truth, the Bible says, and now that's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 19. The Holy Spirit is the Bible says he's the Spirit of truth. So whenever you really need the truth about something, I don't care what it is, and you humble your heart to receive the truth. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to give you the truth, to show you the truth, unless you're ready to receive it. Are you with me? Because the Holy Spirit will show you the truth. Anything. You want to know if your spouse is cheating. You want to know if your child is going to school or not. You want to know, you know, are they planning to fire you? I don't care what it is. You want to know truth about anything. Smallest to the biggest things. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. Will you reveal the truth to me? Holy Spirit, will you show me the truth in this situation? I trust you. I promise you, rather, the Holy Spirit will show you the truth. He will reveal to you the truth. Number seven, Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our advocate. That means that he represents us in this too deep, much for me to teach on today, but there is something called the courts of heaven. There's a real court. All the courts in the world were based out of the first divine court, which is called the court of heaven. Well, the Holy Spirit serves as the highest ranking officer of the court. He serves as our attorney in the earth realm, because he's in the earth with us. Jesus is our advocate, which he serves as our attorney in the spirit realm. So it's fascinating. It's powerful. I have learned about the courts of heaven. Now I'm actually walking my clients through the courts. I teach on the courts. of heaven. I've learned a lot of revelation. I'm so grateful and thankful that I've learned about it. Francis Miles and Robert Henderson, both are the ones that I listened to for a while, that taught me and introduced me to the courts of heaven. And now I have learned and gained so much revelation from the Holy Spirit. But yes, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our attorney in the earth, here with us when we are coming before the court of heaven. Amazing and fascinating. Number eight, the Holy Spirit is our strengthener. When you need physical strength, you know, when you're tired and let's see, maybe you don't want to do the 5-hour energy. I'm not bad mouthing 5-hour energy, but I will say this. What if you need 7 hours of energy? Do you have to buy 2 bottles? That's some amazing marketing. I can tell you that. That's some amazing marketing. 5-hour energy and these energy drinks and just all these things that can give us this physical boost. Guess what? You can get it free. There's something called dunamis power. Dunamis is spelled D-U-N-A-M-U-S. Dunamis. Dunamis power is the dunamis is the root word for dynamic. And dynamite, which means powerful, a powerful explosion. The Holy Spirit can give you supernatural energy, physical energy. Let's say you got to, oh Lord, you got to move. Moving is a job. I mean, it just tires you out to move. You can say, Holy Spirit, I need your dunamis energy. And right now, by faith, I am receiving your supernatural dunamis energy, your dunamis power, Holy Spirit. Boom. I'm here to tell you, that dunamis energy, that super, that's what people say, oh, I got my second wind. That's what pastors and preachers will say when they're preaching. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, I got my second wind. I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be. They're talking about that dunamis energy of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. I've been tapping into it almost 28 years. I'm a witness. I'm all in. I'm all in. Whenever I need physical energy, whenever I need extra energy and extra strength, I tap into the free energy with no side effects. Hello? Of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We'll move on. Number 9, the Holy Spirit is your standby. That means he's ready, willing, and able to step in any given situation of your life. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Holy Spirit is here to take over for you. I don't care what it is. If it's a conversation that you're having, it's kind of going bad. You don't know what to say. It's kind of like, you can say, would you hold on for a minute? Put that person on mute and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to take over. I do. You know, it's kind of, we kind of starting to argue. I don't want to argue. So I need you to stand. As my standby, would you take over for me? You know what needs to be said. You know what this person needs to hear to bring peace in this situation. Boom. Hit unmute. Holy Spirit kick in for you. Peace come back in. Holy Spirit, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath or extreme anger. Holy Spirit can help you to calm down. He can take over in that situation. Next thing you know, it ends in peace. It was about to get out of control. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He can help you maintain your emotions in a tough situation. Holy Spirit can help. He can just, if you ask him to be your standby and you start practicing doing that, he's always walking with you. He's on the inside of you. So he's going everywhere you go. He knows your whole day. He knows what you're going to be doing today. That's how I live my life. I give the Holy Spirit the rundown of my day. It's not like he doesn't already know, because he's God. He's living on the inside of me. But I communicate with the Holy Spirit all day long. Every counseling client, every time I get ready to speak, every art piece that I work on, everything that I do, relationships, things that I'm going to be, I've just lived my life to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So he's your standby. And then number 10, coming to the last one, the Holy Spirit anoints us. The word anointing simply means receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to do a specific task. that God wants to do through you. I know we use the word anointing a lot, but the word is powerful in and of itself. It simply means receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to do a specific task that God wants to do through you. And so it's not our gift. It's not our power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. So the Holy Spirit anoints me to counsel because God has put a mandate on me to counsel with people. He anoints me to speak because God wants to say something to people through using my voice. The Holy Spirit can anoint you to cut grass. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit can anoint you to cook. The Holy Spirit can anoint you to do anything and everything. So when you have this divine ability to do something and do it with this ease, you do it and it's just a supernatural ease in doing it. That is the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And so as I close this segment out, I am grateful to God that I've had this time to just be with you and teach on this amazing relationship called the triune God. Understanding. So I want you to know the Holy Spirit. So how do you talk to the Holy Spirit? I want to make sure I don't end it without telling you. We still pray to God, the Father. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Think of the Holy Spirit as your best friend. So you wouldn't pray to your best friend, would you? No, you don't pray to your best friend. You talk to your best friend. You ask your best friend for help. You communicate with your best friend, but you don't pray to your best friend. So we still pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. We really don't pray to Jesus, even though some people say, Jesus, help me. We really pray to God the Father. We pray in Jesus' name so that God will receive the prayers because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross in the sonship of Jesus. And we communicate with the Holy Spirit. We commune with the Holy Spirit. We fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You ask the Holy Spirit for help. You treat the Holy Spirit like your very best friend who you love, honor, and respect, and value, and appreciate. That's how you think of the Holy Spirit. So this whole teaching for these past 3 weeks has been enjoyable for me. It has. And I've come up now to one year. I've completed 1 year. This is episode 53. I'm grateful to God. And, you know, last week I officially completed 52 weeks. And today I complete 53 weeks. And what better way to end the last 3 weeks of the year for me, coming up on my 1 year anniversary, than teaching about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and how to just understand how much God loves us. He loves you. He loves you so much that he poured himself out. He pours himself out in three distinct ways. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with my loving kindness have I drawn you. I pray that this series has drawn you into a desire to get to know God on a deeper level, a desire to re-listen to these episodes, this series, a desire to get deeper into the Word of God, a desire to really get to know God the Father, and to get to know Jesus on a deeper level, and to get to really know the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit, whomever, however way you want to refer to him. He's very secure. He's very secure. He's not like people being insecure. He knows who he is. He just wants you to know who he is and that he's here to come alongside you and help your life be successful. So I am grateful to God for completing this series. I am grateful and thankful to God. And before I close out, I want to give a very special thank you as I close out this 1 year anniversary. And that is, I want to say thank you to two very special people, three special people. First, I want to thank my daughter, who I love dearly, and her name's Dee Dee. And I want to thank her because she was instrumental in really, really, really pushing me to do the podcast. I'm so grateful for her support. I'm so grateful for her encouragement. and so grateful that she has assisted me in the podcast, assisted me with coming up with ideas for the episodes. I'm so grateful to Dee Dee. Thank you so much, sweet Dee, for your unwavering love and support and encouragement. You are a true gift to me, your mommy. Yes, you are. I am grateful for you. Thank you. I also want to thank and give a big shout out to Jay Bernard Carter. Jay Bernard Carter has been with me for over 10 years. He has served as my website designer, my graphic arts designer. And I asked him, would he help me with the podcast? And he gladly said yes. And he's been faithful every single week now for 53 weeks. He has been here with me. He's come alongside me to edit the podcast, and he's done it with an excellent spirit. He helps. So he's the editor slash he's helping to produce the podcast and make sure that they get uploaded with excellence. And so thank you, Jay Bernard. I'm so appreciative of you. You're such a dear heart to me as well. And finally, I want to thank Carrington Briggs. Carrington, I've only met about a year ago, and she was referred to me by one of my friends and talked to her. She's a sweetheart, and I was looking for someone that could help me with uploading to social media. I don't know a whole lot about the technicalities of social media and putting all that stuff out there, but Carrington has been such a sweetheart for a year, helping me every single week to upload the podcast and get it on YouTube, getting it out there, promoting it on Instagram and so forth. So I'm so thankful to you, Carrington, as well. I'm grateful. We cannot do things without having a team of support, destiny helpers. So I'm so thankful to all three of them, and I'm thankful to you. So grateful that you have tuned in. I ask that you continue to grow with me as I'm a vessel of God. And so to God be the glory. I'm so grateful. And a shout out to my sponsor, my Heavenly Father, who has carried me for this year of doing the podcast. So to God be the glory. Until next time, I always say this. And of course, you can go to my website at drbempowers.com to learn more of the works about the works of Dr. B. I'm so grateful. And of course, we have the campaign, Suicide's Not an Option. That's on there as well. Suicide is not an option if you'd like to help with that. But I always say this in closing, in a world where there's so much darkness, there's always a reason to have hope. And so I want you to do this. I want you to hold on to hope. We've been hanging out together for a year. Hold on to hope like it's a piece of rope. Until next time. I'm so glad you made it to the end of the podcast. If the Hope Zone is making a positive difference in your life, please subscribe to the show so you don't miss the next episode. Leave a review, and most of all, share it with your friends. And remember, from your worst day to your best day, there's hope in every situation.